Our second reading comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 15. It's found on page 1803 of your pew Bible. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift.
When I was growing up, sitting the Morningside Reformed Church every Sunday, I remember hearing the hymns we were singing and always hearing a sermon from our pastor, Lou. And then something strange would happen. These people would come up and they would start passing these things around. And people would put money in there. And I always wondered if the amount that people were putting in the plate were directly related to how good Lou's sermon had been. You can understand why I might think that way, right? I mean, we're used to paying for the things that we enjoy. And so my thoughts about what happened when those plates were passed around has kind of stuck with me a little bit. And I sort of wonder the same thing about us sometimes. There was a practice, certainly not an official practice, but a rather strange one in my last church. I would go to visit someone, a shut-in, in either nursing home or at their home, would perhaps bring communion, bring an elder along with me. And without fail, a few days after that visit, a check would come in the mail to the church from this person's family, as if they were paying for the pastoral service that had been provided to them. And I had this one deacon who would always come and parade this check in front of me and say, "See, you need to go visit people more often." I think sometimes we unintentionally approach the church in this way. We think about the goods that we are receiving and treat the offering as if that is how we are paying for them. And think about the way that you would describe a worship service. If you were to go home or go out to dinner with family members who hadn't been here this morning, and they were to ask you, "How was church this morning?" Think about how you might respond. I know how I would have responded before I was in the role that I'm in now. So I would have said, oh, I loved the songs that we sang, or the sermon was really good, or wow, the pastor really prayed a really powerful, meaningful prayer, or I was able to share one of my own prayer concerns and had it prayed for. I left feeling uplifted, feeling inspired, feeling like I was ready for another week. I don't remember ever having said, I really enjoyed putting my envelope in the offering plate. There's something subtle that happened there when I described what I appreciated about the worship service, and maybe you picked up on it. It's all of the things that I appreciated for myself that I received from my experience in the church. Now, we call what we do on Sunday morning a worship service. Now, it's interesting that we call it that. Sometimes I think, especially in this day and age, that we use that word service as a way of talking about how we were served. Like you might go to a restaurant and get table service. But I want to challenge us this morning to think about this act of giving our gifts as the service that we give back to God. As when we use the language of worship service, it's our service to God and not the way that we are being served. Now, in this sermon and the next two, we've moved through our worship time together. We started by singing our praise and confessing our sins. Those two things, if you were to open up your bulletin, and this one may not actually have these headers in it, but next week's will, and last week's did. We start off with our approach to God. Okay? So we praise God, we confess our sins, all of this in approaching God. Last week, Pastor Tom preached about hearing God's word proclaimed. That is the section of the service we call the Word of God. So we've been prepared, we've approached God, we've heard God speak, and this then begins our time of response. This is how we respond to what we have heard. So how do you typically respond to hearing God's word? And what is it that we do exactly when we give our gifts, when we put our money in here? Well, a couple of things from God's word this morning. The first was from Malachi. Dan read for us. God is accusing through the prophet Malachi the people of robbing him. And why is it that they're robbing him? How does he say they're robbing him? Because they're not bringing the entire tithe that they are required to bring. Anyone remember that word tithe? What does that mean? 10%. Right. Okay. So think about the last paycheck you received or the last Social Security deposit that was made into your account. All right? 10% of whatever that amount is considered the tithe. And the problem was that the people had gotten out of the habit of giving their tithe. And as a result, the supply in the storehouse was getting low. Now the storehouse was the place that people would bring their gifts, and it was out of that the priests and the Levites, those who were kind of the religious clergy that were offering their sacrifices and offering their worship on behalf of the people. They were paid out of this. Also, widows, orphans, those who were poor would be helped out of this fund. But God says, put me to the test. He says, put me to the test in this way. Bring the full tithe, bring it to the storehouse, and see if I will rain down abundant blessings on you, so many that your barn will not be able to hold everything that I give. So there have been a lot of sermons preached over the years, and you'll probably decide for yourselves whether this is one of them or not, that says to people, you should tithe. That is something that you should do because God demands it. Then we have Paul writing in his letter to the church there in Corinth. And he says, give whatever you've decided in your heart that you are going to give, because God loves a cheerful giver. He says, don't let anyone else compel you as to what you are to give. Don't be coerced. Don't be forced. Give out of what is in your heart to give. Now, you might argue that means that we should stop preaching stewardship sermons. That means that the pastor should stop standing up in front of you and tell you to give more. And you're right. I should. Right. I'll let you decide whether I'm going to or not. The deacons in the room are shaking their heads saying, no, don't stop. But Paul has a point here in that what we give of ourselves, what we give of our gifts to the church, should come from what is inside of our hearts. And we should give it cheerfully, not begrudgingly. We shouldn't weep while we're putting our envelope in the plate. There should be no tear-stained envelopes unless you were deeply moved by what the preacher preached on that particular day. But give cheerfully, out of gratitude to God. A couple of misnomers about giving I want to talk about this morning. One, I'll put this away here. We don't need to wave that in front of you all morning long. One is, what is it that we are giving to exactly? Now, around budget time, which used to be in November, now is in April or May, we would have these conversations around the consistory table about whether or not we were going to give an income budget to the congregation at the congregational meeting. The argument for that is, we want the congregation to be able to see what the church is planning to do over the next year so that they can give accordingly. The argument against is, what does it matter what the church is spending its money on? If Paul says that we give out of what is in our hearts to give, then it should not matter how much the church is planning on spending. Our brothers and sisters over at the synagogue, that's kind of what they do. They take their budget, they split it up by the number of families that are in the synagogue in the community of faith, and that is your fee for being a member. Well, there's an idea. Take the 150 so members that we have on the church rolls here and divide our $600,000 budget up by that. That's only $4,000 a person. It's not so bad, right? For a family of four, it's only $16,000 to be a member of the church here. But I think that that's contrary to what Paul is talking about here. We give what's in our hearts to give. So why do we give? Do we give because the church needs our money? Does God need our money? I don't think so. I think that God can accomplish whatever God wants to, however God wants to do it. God is big enough for that. We've been invited to participate in that, and we receive great joy from doing so. But if we stubbornly and stiff-neckedly decided that we didn't want to do that, well, then God is still going to accomplish God's purposes whether we do that or not. We give not because God needs us to, but because we need to for ourselves. We need to give things away to be reminded that these gifts which we are giving are not ours in the first place. We're not the owners. They don't belong to us. One of the reasons that God set up this tithe for the Israelites in the first place was as a legal reminder for them that the things that they had were not their own. And when a society is closer to the land, if you will, and more of kind of an agricultural or hunter-gatherer state, it's easier to understand that somehow the amount of rain and sunshine that hits the land is not something that we can really do anything about. So those things are up to God, and so the abundance of our harvest is based on that, right? You heard that language in 1 Corinthians as well. The tithe was God's way of reminding the people of their need to be generous to one another, not because God needed them to be, but because they needed to be for the state of their own hearts. We need to give, not because God needs us to, but because we need to for ourselves. But there's more to this giving of gifts than just what gets placed in the plate. If you listen closely to the prayer of dedication that follows the offering, Pastor Tom or myself, without fail each Sunday, will pray for the dedication not only of what has been put in the plate, but for those who have done the giving as well. Part of the giving of our gifts is not just our financial gifts, but the gifts of our lives, the gifts of full participation in the body of Christ, in the ministry of Christ in our world. None of us are spectators. None of us are merely paying the price of admission to see a good show. It's sort of like one of those dinner theaters like Tony and Tina's Wedding. Have you been a part of that before? You know, where you go as an observer, but you get pulled into the show so that everyone is a cast member? In the Church of Christ, everyone is a cast member in what is happening. None of us can claim to be neutral bystanders in what God is doing in our world. And so we give our gifts. We give our financial gifts. It's very important for us to do that. But even more importantly, we give the gifts of our lives in service to the church, the big church, and the little church right here in Wyckoff. None of us are simply watching what's happening. We're a part of the story. We're a part of God's story. And so part of what it means to come to worship is not just to be entertained, not just to be uplifted, not just to be inspired, but to think about, what do I bring today? What gift do I bring to the service of God in worshiping God this morning? As we've done before, I would like us to take just a minute, close our eyes, think about what gift we bring this morning, and then I'll close us in prayer. Lord God, whatever gifts you have blessed us with here this morning, help us to give them freely with a joyful heart. And Lord, enlarge our hearts, make them bigger, increase our capacity to give of ourselves, our lives. Help us to remember that all we have comes from you, and all that we are is because of what you have done for us through the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.